Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the coach and the Don. Part of the Believe Podcast Network. LA's number one sports podcast network.
What's up, delegates, and welcome back to the Believe in LA Football Podcast with your host, the Coach and the Don, live on Twitter area, or excuse me, 51 Yard Line Studios. I always want to say Area 51.
Area 51.
But 51 Yard Line Studios has gone mobile.
We have.
Yeah, we are. We were just at Chargers training camp, and now we're in between Rams camp, so figured we get in the car, set up shop, and record a little recap of what we saw.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to make lemonade out of lemons, and that's exactly what we're doing.
That's right. So, you know, it's a little cramped, a little warm. We got a jimmy-rigged setup here, so I apologize if the sound quality isn't as superb as usual, but hey, we're going to make do.
It'll work.
Yeah, so.
It'll work.
Coach, what do you think? It was hot out there, but it was fun to be back on the field. Mm-hmm. Fun to catch up with some of the players. We talked to Cortez for a little bit. That was fun. Coach Lynn out there and, you know, some of the other media people. So, but what was your – we'll get into our three takeaways, but what was your initial thoughts of being out there at Chargers camp down at Jack Hemmett Sports Complex in Costa Mesa?
Yeah, right off the bat, Hunter Henry. He looks good. He looks 100%. As you mentioned earlier, he's got the looks that he always has gotten, or that he's always had. No, on the field, he looked great in pass pro. He caught a few decent catches. He and Rivers are still working out the chemistry, getting that back on the same page. But, yeah, overall, I thought Hunter Henry looked really good for his first season back from injury.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely looks ready to go. He's just such a big dude. Every time I remember seeing this last year, he didn't even suit up. He was obviously hurt. But just – how big he is, and a big guy, and then seeing him today in pads, and so yeah, it was fun. My overall takeaway, it was just fun to see the guys in pads. Today's the first day with the pads on. You could tell they were itching to just hit each other and play football again. So I think, you know, I mean, you and I both know from playing, when you're in shorts and shells, it's not the same as once you get the full pads on and start knocking heads.
Yeah, and the crowd was great. There was actually a pretty good crowd today. A lot of Charger fans. They seem to be amped and excited for this upcoming season and what the Chargers can do.
Yeah, it was a good crowd. You know, Spanos made a guest appearance, the owner, in his golf cart, and signed some autographs. And I mean, at least where we were, everyone was thanking him and loving him. So I mean, but these are all guys in LA, so I'm sure he gets a different reception in San Diego. But
yeah, hey, I'm sure he would.
Team's up here now, so
that's right. They're now the LA Chargers. So.
Yeah, and we're LA football. So
we are LA football.
So, yeah, there you go. You're welcome. All right, well, let's get into three takeaways. From today, it was, you know, it's crazy. I remember back in the day, like I'm so old, but, you know, going to training camp as a kid, I feel like these practices were so much longer. And now it's that 2 hours, it just flies by. You have literally the first 15 minutes are stretching. Then the next 15 minutes, they're doing some special teams drills and some individual drills. And you get like a little bit of team time, a little bit of 7-on-7, and then you get a little bit of team time to end it. So it's a lot packed into one, but I think we were able to take and assess a decent amount from how little of reps that we actually saw from one day. I'll let you start it off.
Yeah. So first off, Nasir Adderley looked good. I think he's going to be impressive. I think he's going to work his way into the rotation. But right now at safety, Rayshon Jenkins is taking first team reps with Jalen Watkins and Adderley right behind him. But yeah, I think that first team defense looked really good in that secondary with Derwin James and Trevor Williams and Casey Hayward. I think that core secondary there, and then you got depth guys like Adderley and Watkins, and then you got the all-pro Adrian Phillips sitting there. So I think that secondary is going to be really good. It's going into the season, I feel like it's going to be underrated, but they look really good on the field. They look like they're already on the same page, flying to balls and making. Adderley had a really good pass breakup from stick to I can't remember who the receiver was in the play, but so for me, the first takeaway is that secondary and how good they already look.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And Adderley flying around, and Derwin James. I mean, we could talk all day about Derwin James, how good he looked out there and fresh. Yeah. And it's funny though, as good as they looked, one of my biggest takeaways is how good the first team passing game looked, which you would think they couldn't correlate, but in reality, it was almost like tick for tat. Like one play, Mm-hmm. It was a win for the secondary. Next play was a win for Phillip Rivers and company. But Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen is alive and well.
Yep.
Looks very good. They're on the same page. Mike Williams looked big, looked fast, looked strong. I mean, if he can play like they expected him to play when they drafted him at number 7 overall, and obviously last year he did play much better, hauling in 10 touchdowns and kind of bounced back from a tough rookie year meddled with injuries. But if he can truly hit that potential, are we talking about maybe one of the best wide receiver tandems in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. If Williams plays how he can play and how he was drafted to play and how he played at Clemson, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams I would put them up there with the very, very best.
I think so. I think they definitely have the potential. Sorry for the plane overhead. We're near John Wayne Airport.
Yep.
So, I think if Keenan Allen, we already know what we're going to get with him. He's going to get over 1,000 yards receiving, close to 100 balls, and probably between 6 and 10 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's like, just write it in now. If Mike Williams can come close to that, if we see some of those Dan Fouts days where we get 2 or 3 receivers in the 1,000-yard range, not only is this offense going to be dynamic and fun, but, yeah, I think it has to be in the conversation for the best wide receiver tandem out there.
Yeah, agreed. And you throw in Travis Benjamin,
yep,
which I think that's exactly what you were just going to bring up.
Yep.
That's a good trio.
Yep.
That's a very good trio.
Travis Benjamin, even Artavis Scott.
Artavis Scott,
Clemson looked good out there.
Yep.
So, and then obviously Hunter Henry coming back to get the tight end tandem too. So,
yeah,
maybe we'll get back to the Kellen Winslow days and all those fun players. So, I just loved watching the receivers and Phillip go. You know, we were kind of joking as we left the complex that I still can never get over Phillip Rivers' throwing motion and just how uncomfortable and
not unorthodox.
Thank you. It just looks like there was one play, you know. Defense is divulging around him, and you just see like a little flick out of the pocket, and it looks like he's thrown in the dirt, and it ends up being 30 yards on a rope to Keenan Allen right over the middle in the breadbasket. And if it was a live game, it would have been either a touchdown or at least a 40 to 50 yard completion. So, Phil to Keenan #, because it's going to be trending all season long, live and well.
Yeah, they look good. They definitely look good. And I guess what impressed me the most about the secondary was their depth and how they didn't seem to lose a step when their second guys got in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even if, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but if an injury happens or something, I think they'll be okay with that next man up mentality in that secondary.
Yeah, I think so. And that's been the Chargers' MO because injuries, unfortunately, have riddled them over the years. So they'll need that. But it's weird to say what each side looked good considering they are going against each other. But I think they were able to both prove that they're, you know, 3 weeks into preseason, even though this was day one with the pads on.
Yeah, for sure.
So, cool. What was your next takeaway number 2?
Thomas Davis, man, how he looked. He looked so good. He reminded me of his prime in Carolina. It doesn't look like he's lost a step. He was in there getting his nose dirty. He was flying over the defense. He was kind of, you know, making a few calls. He was playing on each side of the ball. I think that's going to be one of the most underrated signings of the entire offseason was Thomas Davis because linebacker was definitely a need for the Chargers to bolster and improve a little bit, and I think Thomas Davis was a good guy to bring in with his veteran leadership, and he obviously proved it today. He has a lot more to prove as the preseason goes on, but it looked like today he can still bring the wood.
Yeah, absolutely. He looked flying around out there, and in Derwin James – press conference after practice, he even made the comment that he's like a little kid out here. He's like, I thought I was young and a leader, and then Thomas Davis just brings it to a whole new level. So
yeah, we saw him after actual on-field practice. He had he was either a fan or another media person. He had their phone and he was doing some Instagram live or something. He was definitely having some fun with the fans. So I think Thomas Davis is definitely enjoying his time in LA right now.
Yeah, and really, obviously out here in LA, we talked about it on the show, but an underrated signing that really didn't get a lot of public attention, I think just because of his age. But he has been a top-tier middle linebacker for many of the last few years, and now he comes to a Chargers team that has been hungry for a really solid middle linebacker. They've had a good core. Mm-hmm. Obviously, injuries has always played a part in that, and Thomas Davis has had a little bit of injury history over the last few years. But if healthy, I think he just brings so much to the defense that's going to add a lot.
Yeah, I think a lot of Luke Kuechly – Luke Kuechly's success in Carolina had to do with Thomas Davis and how offenses had to account for him. And now it'll be interesting to see how Kuechly does without his running mate. Now with Davis here, you know, what's that going to do for Denzel Perriman and Jatavis Brown when he gets back off the PUP list? You know, and you guys got younger guys behind him like Nwosu and Kaiser White, who's also dealing with injury again. But, hey, you know, I think Thomas Davis is going to do a lot of good things for that linebacking group.
Definitely, yeah. I'm excited to see how Nwosu's progression and maturity will come in year two. So that'll be fun to watch. L.A. football guy right there.
Yeah, for sure.
SC, yep. Now the Chargers. So. Yep. All right, my takeaway number two, you know, it was, again, first day with the pads on. So it's really – training camp in general is really hard to assess the running game because very few practices are they going full speed. They're not fully – or they're wrapping up and not bringing to the ground. They're running to the ball but then ending the play. So it's hard to really get a grasp. But I think there was enough to see that they're missing Melvin Gordon. And he does elevate the rushing room. Yes, there were some injuries, obviously, with Okung out. And Derek Watt didn't practice today because of tightness in the calf. But there was definitely – you could tell a lack of intensity from the running back position. Obviously, Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler, that's who's going to be thrust upon. I think they're very capable. They proved that last year. Mm-hmm. But just what was evident to me today is Melvin Gordon is at a higher echelon. Whether he's worth big-time money is yet to be seen, and mm-hmm. whether they'll get that is unlikely, I want to say, just knowing Telesco's history. But, you know, they miss him out there, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You could definitely tell – something was different.
Yeah.
And then you quickly realize it's 28. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not there. So, yeah, definitely hope they work something out or figure something out to where they can get someone to come in and bolster that running game. I think Jackson and Eckler would be a good tandem. But, yeah, it's not Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. And I think they won't miss a lot in the passing game out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, if anything, though, I mean, I think Eckler is a better receiver than Gordon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't think they'll miss a step there.
Yeah.
But definitely running the ball.
Yeah, it's a lot of people probably don't realize, but the size, Eckler and Jackson are very similar in size, whereas Gordon is much bigger. I think a lot the conception is that Jackson is a bigger back and Eckler is a smaller, and I think they're an inch apart and maybe 5 to 10 pounds. Like, they're very similar backs. And so it's hard to have two change of pace backs. And those are your two backs.
Right, exactly. I think Jackson might be just a little bit taller than Eckler. Not much, yeah. Seeing him out there in pads, it's really, I mean, other than the numbers, you know, their running styles are similar. They look like the same type of running back. And unfortunately, that's a different type of running back than Melvin Gordon. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so just to put it in final writing, Justin Jackson is 6'1", 199, and Austin Eckler is 5'11", 200.
Oh, so he actually weighs a little bit more.
Or 5'10", 200. So 2 inches shorter, but weighs a pound more. So
interesting.
Very similar body types.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, that was one of my takeaways. Just evident that you could tell Gordon was missing.
Yep.
So we'll see what goes on with that.
All right, my final one, I feel like I've gone defense the whole time, but I'm going to stick with him. The size of Jerry Tillery.
Oh, behemoth, dude.
Dude, I didn't realize how big that dude is, and he is we talked about it at camp. He's a lean big.
Yeah.
Like, he looked great. He looked in really good shape. He looked to be mean and nasty, firing off the ball quick. You know, I remember him at Notre Dame kind of being a bulkier, you know, heavier guy, but he didn't look it today. He looked, like I said, lean and mean, and he looks like he prepared for this camp. And I would be concerned if you're in the AFC West about this guy coming up from behind and maybe even being a rookie of the year just based on his looks. He looks really good.
Agree with you 100%, and he's one of the reasons why the running game struggled. He was plugging holes right away, looked quick off the ball, quick off the snap. You know, he kind of looked like to me, I know they play different positions, but he looked like Jason Taylor back in the Miami days, just like body type, just that lean, big. Like, Jason Taylor was a beast at defensive end, like a sack artist, but it looked like he could have also played tight end or like running back if he wanted to. That's just his body figure.
Mm-hmm.
And Tillery looked at, just add some inches, and he's going to be, if he stays healthy and keeps producing how they want, like, he's going to be really good.
Yeah, and obviously it took, if he did slim down like we think he did, that takes a lot of work and dedication in off-season programs. If he takes that dedication and work ethic onto on-field practices, man, this guy's going to be something special.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, a lot of scrutiny from a lot of these players isn't always fair, and you know, there was the questions about his love for football or his tenacity and work ethic. And what we saw of him on the field, I think he proved the doubters wrong, that he's dedicated to football, dedicated to the Chargers, and he's ready to take his game to the next level.
Yep,
I agree. Worthy of that first-round pick. So.
Yep.
Okay, so I got to talk about my boy, you know, fifth-round pick, Easton Stick, out of North Dakota State. And, you know, when you're a later pick quarterback, there's not a lot of reps for you. Basically, you know, Philip obviously was with the ones, Tyrod Taylor with the twos, and then Cardell and Easton Stick were kind of splitting reps with the threes. And I thought he showed some good things. I think definitely he looked like a rookie. We saw a few when they were just doing, like, I don't know what you want to call it, target practice, passes into a
net,
mesh basket, which, I mean, doesn't really prove a lot. But, you know, first two throws, way overthrown.
Yeah.
And then everyone after that hit the target or hit it in the net, every single one after that, I think, except for his very last one.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of settled down there. And then in team drills, what I liked about him was his aggressiveness. I
mean, yeah.
Not playing scared, not playing rookie. His first pass in team, it was an incomplete pass, but it was a 35, 40-yard pass up the left side of the field. And he ended up completing one of those in the second team drills, had a few good passes in 7-on-7. But I think just his pocket presence, his aggressiveness is what I kind of take away from it. You know, didn't throw any interceptions, but you still have the rookie kind of mistakes, if you will, maybe overthrowing or not. The accuracy wasn't quite on. The timing wasn't quite there, which just takes time to progress. But overall, I thought for the limited reps he saw and being the first day of padded practice, I liked what I saw out of Easton.
Yeah, he did look good. He looked better at 7-on-7, which, I mean, it's to be expected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, during the padded drills with the D-line in his face, he did a good job of standing in there. I mean, mm-hmm. at training camp, you're not really afraid of getting lit up as a quarterback. But really, he did a decent job of standing in the pocket and trying to deliver balls on time and accurate. But yeah, on 7-on-7, I remember there was one play up the sideline. He hit Jeremy Davis, and Davis made a nice catch, but the ball was on point. Davis was going to be the only guy to make a play on it,
mm-hmm.
And he did. And that was nice. That was impressive.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we both talked about and saw in his film was his pocket presence, was his footwork, his ability to really stand in there, evade pressure without. I mean, he was a good running quarterback, but he was able to extend the play with his legs without running, just extending within the pocket. And we saw that in a few plays, just staying in the pocket, you know, having that Manning happy feet, but not like scared rookie happy feet.
Right.
So I thought that was good. I loved the first play they did on the team drills. It was the incomplete pass I was mentioning, the deep throw, but they did a little essentially a play action bootleg, kind of got him out of the pocket, moving his feet, stopped and throw it, 40 yards down the field. So I like that they already know kind of how he can run the offense if mm-hmm. that is to come to be the case at one point. But yeah, overall, looked like a rookie, but I liked what I saw better out of him than Cardale Jones.
I did too. I don't anticipate Cardale being on the Chargers the entire preseason.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a cut at some point.
Definitely not one season. I mean, as it is right now, Tyrod Taylor is the absolute unquestioned backup, and then Easton Stick, you're not going to being just drafted this year, you're going to see what you have out of him and keep him no matter what, I think.
And I think today solidified it for me that Tyrod is one of the better backups in the league. He looked
the best backup, yeah.
He looked really sharp today.
He did, yeah. Just he looked like someone that has been in the league,
yep.
has started games, yep. and if Phil were to go down, you could say, we might be okay. Not maybe win a Super Bowl, but we can win some games.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, man. Well, hey, it was a fun camp. Loved doing it with you. We are actually going to be heading to Rams camp here in a few hours. So we'll be updating this, doing another live feed there, then updating the whole podcast and releasing it tonight with both our Chargers and Rams coverage. But, yeah. Anything else about Chargers camp?
No. The funnest moment for me was when Rivers got out and pretended to
do a little blocking.
Do a little blocking on Derwin James.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll ever happen full speed.
No, definitely not.
But that was a fun little moment.
Was it a swing pass or was it an actual handoff that Rivers ended up out in front? Oh, no, it was a reverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a reverse to Benjamin.
And then Phillip was essentially the lead blocker and going full speed, called out.
Yeah, pointed out 3-3 and said, I'm coming for you. And then they both just let up and had a little laugh about it. And then the crowd really enjoyed that. So that was a fun moment.
Yeah, absolutely fun. Yeah, always fun moments. Camp is – there's obviously you want the intensity, you want to see improvement. But, you know, it's also – it's the beginning of camp, kind of get the rust off a little bit.
Yeah, build that camaraderie back up.
Yep.
If I could talk.
There you go. So – cool. Well, it was fun. We'll be back there probably later in the week, but
yep.
Thanks for tuning in. Believe in LA football. And we'll be back later with our Rams coverage. And we're back right after Rams camp has just wrapped up. We got some color, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, we got some sun. We're going to be bronze here in a few days, but we're pretty beet red right now.
Yeah, there's a little glare, but I have a nice sunglass tan, some red on the forehead. I put tons of sunscreen on this morning, and of course, that doesn't matter.
No, and I didn't put a lick of it on, yeah. And I never do. But like, I turn tan real easily, so it'll be nice.
Yeah.
I'll look good.
So, but, you know, Rams camp, it was a different experience a little bit than Chargers camp.
Yeah.
Both encouraging. What was your biggest takeaway just from being in the atmosphere and being down here in Irvine?
It was a lot more energetic. I felt like it was a lot more excitement, a lot more fan passion. Of course, there's a lot more fans here, and it felt like this is a bigger area. And I mean, it is a bigger area out here, but it felt like this was a
reportedly over 13,000 people here.
Yeah, it was a very large crowd here. The biggest takeaway, the biggest difference between this morning and this afternoon, Chargers and Rams, feel like they have a massive following. It feels like this team has been in LA for years and years and years.
Yeah, we were kind of talking pre-show. I think the Chargers not, quote-unquote, not having a fan base at all is overplayed. They do. They have fans in L.A. They're putting a good product on the field, and so they're building.
Yeah.
But they feel like a small market team in a big market that is just kind of – it's swimming in a pond that's too big for them right now. I think they can change that. Whereas the Rams feel like a team built for a big market. They are marketing correctly. They are catering to their fans, catering to the young fans, catering to – all walks of life fans. Like, they really know what they're doing in bringing fans in, and they displayed that at camp with all the stuff they have just for the fans to do, with the different, just the setup in general.
Yeah, for sure. I felt like they had different pockets of things. I mean, they had food, you know, they had a bunch of food vendors there, you know, kettle corn, nachos, tacos, burritos. They had, you know, beverages for the adults. And they had seating all around the fields on 3/4 of it, and then the other side was media. Chargers just have the one, and it felt different. It was a different vibe.
Yeah, and so I think the Chargers get this was their, you know, what, third year at that complex for their training camp.
I think so. Yeah.
And this was the Rams' fourth or fifth, so Chargers can get there. But yeah, I think that the Rams, as far as continuity and building just a fan base, are doing a better job right now. But so that was probably our biggest takeaway, just noticing that, just kind of almost in awe, like, wow, this is something to kind of spectacle at as far as training camp is concerned.
Yeah.
But now let's get to the field. You know, Todd Gurley's out there running around. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Goff. These are the defending Super Bowl champs. Was there anything that kind of stuck out? You know, first day of camp, so it's hard to really pinpoint a lot of things, but anything that stuck out to you with the Rams?
Yeah, I didn't feel like this was a team that was satisfied with last year. I felt like this team was already hungry and already focused and had a goal, a one common goal in mind, to get back to the Super Bowl and win it this year. And I felt no Super Bowl hangover again. Like you said, first day training camp, it's really hard to peg that, you know, pinpoint that. But just the way guys were practicing, hustling around in the field, we saw Aqib Talib make a good play on a ball from Jared Goff, intercepted it in the end zone. I just feel like this team is not going to let up, and they're definitely going to build upon what they laid down foundation-wise in 2018.
Yeah, I agree. Really no hangover, and I think the fans kind of showed that as well. And, you know, we have a comment here about Weddle and Matthews, and, you know, they look good out there running around. I think Matthews is going to fit in nice with the defense, how he's going to be utilized. And, you know, Gurley, you know, looked good. I mean, it's hard to tell. Like, they're not really hitting each other much, but, you know, he ran, caught some balls out of the backfield, and he was on the bike for a little bit, just keeping it loose, keeping it stretched. But, yeah, I mean, they look like a team hungry, ready to go. I think it's what's cool too about going to both camps, especially in the same days, you see just how practices are run differently.
Yeah.
And obviously, these are two teams that had great success. The Rams having a little bit more than the Chargers, but the Chargers, you know, made it to the AFC divisional game, and where they lost to the Patriots. But they just run them very differently in the sense that there is more focus in the Rams about first team getting out of the way early, rep, and then getting them off the field earlier. And then they kind of went to their threes afterwards. And I like you said, the hunger's there, I think, and we'll see that grow throughout the preseason and throughout the training camp process.
Yeah, for sure. And we saw another question here pop up about Malcolm Brown and how he looked. It's hard to really peg how guys run without pads, especially at training camp, and no pads there, just helmets. So it's hard to say. He looked good. I mean, he looked like how Malcolm Brown typically looks. Darrell Henderson, to me, he was running with the third team. He was actually one of the ones that looked most explosive to me.
Definitely explosive.
I don't know if that was because he was going against third teamers or if he really is just that explosive. Gurley got a few reps. Malcolm Brown kind of did what you expected. But Henderson, I think the hype is kind of justified.
Yeah. And John Kelly, another guy that is just buried on the depth chart and not going to get a lot of reps. So when he does, you have to utilize him.
Yep.
I didn't see anything to be worried about, but it's just, it's few and far between the reps he's going to get.
Yeah, and I that's not good writing on the wall. I mean, when you draft a guy like Henderson, you sign a guy like Brown and Gurley. I don't see them carrying four. I mean, I guess they might, depending on what Henderson does on special teams and if they want to utilize them more that way. But yeah, John Kelly's lack of reps today, especially right off the get-go, I don't think it's a good omen for him.
Yeah, and just asked if Goff threw sharp, and he looked okay.
He looked okay for the first day. Again, I mentioned earlier, the pass that Aqib Talib picked off. It was a bad underthrown ball.
Underthrown, yeah. He had Robert Woods in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, Woods was there in the back. If he would have put it on a line, I think Woods would have came up with it. But it was underthrown. Aqib undercut it and made the play on it. But other than that, Goff looked decent. He had some zip on the ball, good rotation, good spirals. Nothing really came out wobbling or anything like that. But other than that one bad pass in the end zone, I thought Goff looked pretty good. And so did Bortles. Bortles looked good today. I thought Bortles was good. So that's going to be a good backup signing.
Yeah, definitely. And what's Goff's always kind of showed him, at least last year, is he's a very cadence-ridden and timing quarterback. And so against Aaron in practice, that's where he's going to shine. And he showed that again today when the timing was right, when the cadence was right. The accuracy is going to be there. There's no doubting the arm talent, no doubting the accuracy that he can bring. And so that it's more so with Goff, it's about what defenses throw at him and what kind of different schemes they throw at him. But overall, it looked good. That one pass definitely was not good. I mean, anytime you throw a pick in the end zone, it's not what you want. But overall, yeah. I think Goff looked pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And to answer this other question, we just saw camp started at about 4. They started stretching about 15, 20 minutes before that, and they broke actually at like 5:30, and then third team guys were getting reps there for the last 10, 15 minutes. So I'd say actual on-field practice, they were there from 4 to 5:30, 5:45.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're alluding to, just how the teams kind of run differently, Chargers and Rams, where that, McVay kind of ran it like getting the first team reps in, boom, 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 got the guys out an hour and a half, and that last 30 minutes was more utilized for the third teams to kind of get their reps and the coaches to just really get their eyes on those guys instead of – because, I mean, we talked. I mean, when you're not just a football player but an athlete and you run three snaps and all of a sudden you sit for 15 minutes and you're expected to go and get your one rep in as a fourth-string, fifth-string receiver is difficult. So I kind of like that, having that all right, I'll sit, and then I have that 30 minutes to really showcase my skills if I'm a guy truly trying to make the team.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. I think it's a smart way to run things, and you get everybody time. Because your first stringers at this point, McVay, has been there for a while. They're going to know the offense, and really they're gonna benefit more from film study and stuff like that, and let the younger guys get those reps. So that's more important for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, great day at camp. To wrap up the Rams camp, just good to see the guys out there getting running around. Good to see Corey Littleton out there running around. Clay Matthews stood up finally in a back in an LA uniform. Yeah. Welcome home. Eric Weddle back in an LA uniform. I know it's for the other team as he played for the Chargers for many years. But, LA football is here. LA football is back. LA football is here to stay. So it's exciting to really see kind of what is to come with the Los Angeles football scene and just how great our teams are right now.
Yeah, I think big things are coming for Chargers and Rams, and I think LA football fans should be excited.
Yeah, we got excited fans behind us. That's why, you know, 51-Yard Line Studios is mobile. You know, we're in the parking structure right here at Irvine campus. So,
you see,
well, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Believe in LA football, and make sure to tune in more for some Chargers and Rams coverage throughout training camp.
You bet. See you guys.
Believe in LA Football Podcast.
Touchdown Rams!
Touchdown UCLA!
Recovered by the Chargers.
The Trojans back in front.
With your hosts, the coach and the Don. Part of the Believe Podcast Network. LA's number one sports podcast network.